Listen to your body. I've heard doctors say it, dance teachers have said it to me, people who lead exercise classes, yoga instructors, they've all been known to say, listen to your body. How many of us actually do that? We're busy, running from work to home, taking kids here and there, attending meetings, school events, church commitments, family and social obligations. Who has time to listen to your body? It's actually kind of appropriate for me to preach this sermon, I think. I'm a dancer, well, a dance teacher now. Dancers use their bodies daily to the fullest extent. If a dancer doesn't listen to their body, they end up with injured knees and back issues. Caring for the body is very important to be able to keep dancing. I know all of this, but the question is, do I listen to my body? I don't. I just keep going. I want to believe I can still do all I've always done. The girls in my dance class figured out a couple weeks ago that I have done well over 1.5 million pliés in my lifetime. It can do a job on your knees, trust me, but I still keep going. So I'm currently visiting a chiropractor a couple times a week to correct some hip alignment issues that are causing me back pain. My hips and my shoulders were screaming at me to listen to my body. By the way, I'm still doing my pliés. I do about over 80 a week. Sometimes at the beginning of the day, or at the end of the day, as I'm in my car, either going home or coming to work, I stretch in my car, and I let out this really loud groan. Seriously, it's loud. I only do it when I'm alone, but it feels so good deep down inside of my chest. It's like a release of things that are building up inside of me, or stress that I'm going to have to deal with, or whatever it is, it just feels so good to like make that sound and let it out. Other times, I just sigh. And sometimes, they don't even notice I'm doing it, and Dale says, you're sighing. My body is responding for me. Think about it. When all this stuff that we don't realize is even building up inside, it comes out. Could be like a prayer. The scripture says, the Spirit comes to help our weakness. We don't know what we should say, but the Spirit himself knows. What if breathing with awareness is prayer? When was the last time you noticed that you were breathing? In, out. It seems strange that something we do approximately 26,000 times per day takes place largely outside our conscious awareness. Yet if we missed too many of those breaths, we wouldn't be here this morning. But unless you suffer from asthma or some other breathing disorder, you probably spend no time in your day worrying about missing a breath. In Scripture, breath and soul and spirit are both the same word. In Genesis 2, we read that God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living soul or being. The word for God's breath and Adam's living soul are both the same in Hebrew, nefesh. It happens again in the Gospel of John, chapter 20. The resurrected Jesus appears to the disciples and breathes on them, saying, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Both breath and spirit are the word pneuma in Greek. Breath is required for living. Spirit is required for life. For some of us, a structured prayer life is hard to maintain. One of the people I enjoy reading is author and preacher Barbara Brown Taylor. In her book, An Altar on the World, she writes, "I am a failure at prayer. When people ask me about my prayer life, my mind starts scrambling for ways to hide my problem. I start talking about other things I do that I hope will make me sound like a godly person. I try to say admiring things about prayer so that there is no doubt about how important I think it is. I ask the other person about their prayer life, hoping they won't notice that I changed the subject. To say I love God, but I don't pray much, is like saying I love life, but I do not breathe much. The only way I have found to survive my shame," she says, "is to come at the problem from both sides, exploring two distinct possibilities. One, that prayer is much more than my idea of prayer. And two, that some of what I actually do in my life may constitute genuine prayer." The great contemplative mystic Thomas Merton was asked one too many times about his life and practices in his hermitage in the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky. He tersely responded to the person, "What I wear is pants. What I do is live. How I pray is breathe." His comments may have come from exasperation, but there is wisdom. For Thomas Merton, experiencing God may not be limited to our scheduled times of prayer, but may be a daily experience, even moment-by-moment experience, in which God is present and constant as breathing. If we become more aware of our breath, would we become more aware of God's actual presence in our lives? Maybe like Barbara Brown Taylor, you have a hard time praying for longer than a few minutes. Maybe you have a hard time thinking of words to say. It's why when we're in meetings and one of us says, "Who will close in prayer or open in prayer?" everybody looks in their laps. You should see on Sunday night when I'm trying to find a youth person to say grace, you would think I was asking them to give up their right hand. What if in all of our sighing, there is prayer? What if God doesn't need us to say words or to talk? Perhaps God just needs us to breathe in and breathe out and listen. Think about all the times we sigh, tired, frustrated, exasperated, content. What if all those sighs and groans could be prayers? Some people may have words. They're good at that. They light candles, they make time, they read devotions. Other of us just breathe and open ourselves to God. Either way is good if we listen. Maybe it's comforting to know that great spiritual leaders have a hard time with prayer, the way we commonly think of prayer. Leaders like Barbara Brown Taylor, Thomas Merton, and maybe even the Apostle Paul, who says, "The Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes." These people understand that given time and practice, what we put into prayer is vastly exceeded by what we receive from it. They also know that we don't have to consciously be aware of what we're saying or hearing to receive the benefits of prayer. There's a saying that says 80% of success in life is just showing up. Think about that in terms of prayer. 80% of our success in prayer connecting to God in a way that has the potential to transform our lives, is just showing up. Perhaps prayer isn't about the words you use or the scriptures you know or how good of a Christian you are. It might mean just showing up each day, willing to take time to connect. I'm like Barbara Brown Taylor. I'm not one with a strict prayer life. My schedule is flexible at different days, different times, so I have no set time. And I know people used to say, "Well, get up early." I'm not good in the morning. God doesn't want me in the morning any more than the rest of you want me in the morning. But I pray often in many moments in my day. So this week, trying to get into the spirit of this Lenten series, I went into the prayer stations in the parlor. I stood by the wind chimes, breathing in and out. The wind chimes, of course, started to move and make noise. Sweet, beautiful sounds. It helped me to focus on the presence of God within me and around me, that God gave me breath, breathing in and out as a prayer. The spirit I breathe in empowers me to be transformed as I breathe out the spirit that is unleashed to work into the world. If words are unnecessary, when I have no idea how to pray, God is still responding. Perhaps there have been times when collective sighs, breaths, or groans have started a movement. I was here on Friday evening for the Kalamazoo College Choir concert, which was really good, and I was reminded that when people don't know what to say, God still hears. I heard it in the reading of Anne Frank. I heard it in the song "Somebody to Love" for the LGBTQ folks. I especially heard it in the story of Rosa Parks. She sat down on a bus. Why? Because she was tired. Her body was aching for relief. Her body was speaking to her, and she was listening. She sat down and I bet she sighed. And then she simply refused to get up for someone who society considered more worthy than of her seat. She wasn't getting up because she was tired. It might surprise you to know that she wasn't the only one to do this. She wasn't even the first. But perhaps by the time Rosa was arrested, the collective sigh of the world was so big, the unspoken prayer so loud, it started a movement. Lord, hear us in our weakness. After the shooting in Parkland, Florida, as I was reading my newsfeed, I heard no words. Excuse me, I had no words. My heart broke again. My anger raged. I was thankful it wasn't our kids. I was literally without words, and my emotions were all over the place. I read the news and sighed. I watched on TV and sighed. In the last couple of weeks, I've sighed a lot. I don't think I'm the only one. As we've watched young people organize, politicians on both sides reach for their ready arguments, not knowing how to respond, many of us have let out collective sighs. Maybe this time, when we have no words, maybe this time in our collective sighs, our wordless prayers can again start a movement. Lord, hear our hearts, because we have no words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for you do not know how to pray as we ought, but that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, interceding to the will of God, according to the will of God. Paul might say that when you pray, it's okay just to let your breath do the talking. In fact, it is a good thing to just show up and breathe and listen. Just try inviting God's Holy Spirit into you as you inhale. When you exhale, simply allow your breath to carry your joys and concerns, your hopes and fears back to God. Allow your breath to convey whatever you cannot put into words. Praying with our breath isn't the only way to pray to God, but it's a significant one. For if you will pay attention to these moments when quiet, peaceful, surrendered feeling returns, and what is happening when it does, you can start piecing together what the Holy Spirit is trying to say to you. If you will make this a regular practice, then over time you will be able to connect the dots between these experiences and discern the basic direction the Spirit is gently nudging you or calling you. I want to leave you with a poem with the words of Susan Palatierwine. Song rises and spins on breath, on a moving, living river of breath, of spirit, of life. We respire, we breathe. We inspire, we take in spirit. We suspire, we sigh. We send out a desire to the Spirit. We expire. The breath leaves us, the Spirit goes out. God breathed breath into clay and created humans. God breathed the Spirit into Mary's ear in a whisper of a divine chant and divinity birthed forth. And so we breathe out, a river of living breath, spinning out song. With every breath, connection to life and creation song. With every breath, connecting to that power of divine love, shaping and transforming every breath. Amen.